Well, good morning, everyone. If you would stand, let's grab a hymn book and turn to page 431. 431. I hope you're warmed up in Sunday school. We're going to sing Saved, Saved. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. Let's sing it all. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved.
Too late to tell me Jesus doesn't save. So thankful that new life in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ricky, would you do me a favor? Would you come lift this bag up and put it on the edge of this table? In this bag, there's just a little shy, I guess, of about 4,000 tracks. They're destined for Buenos Aires, Argentina. Brother Bruce will be carrying two of these duffel bags with him when he goes on October 1st. And they'll be following Brother Bruce, 1920 other people. They won't be carrying four boxes like this, but they'll all be carrying probably somewhere around 2,500 or 3,000 tracks apiece somewhere in that neighborhood. And what we're trying to put before your eyes today is the importance of praying that these tracks will get into the country with no problems, no issues, of course. They are to be distributed during the Youth Olympics, during that time. It's about a little over two weeks that'll be taking place. And so we're praying that God will be pleased to use these tracts, of course, to deal with folks' hearts and lives concerning their eternal destinies. And also, for the first time in one of our efforts, there's a lot of the contact information is digital. It's web-based, and so we're trying to make it all the easier and quicker for folks to be able to get to get follow-up and help with that. So, you done good, Ricky. You can set it back down. You think you can get a lot? I'll grunt for you. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Ricky. He had more muscles than I do. I'm going to ask Captain Holder, Matt Holder. I'm so happy to have them with us this weekend. They were in town for actually a wedding yesterday. Would you come, brother? A little different way to start the service today. I love it when he comes in the uniform. And would you come and would you pray for this whole effort?
Absolutely. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, just want to just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to just be here, Lord, in your house today, that we can serve you, Lord, that we can lift up our voices and worship you, Lord, that we can open up your word freely, Lord, here in this country. But I pray, dear God, Lord, that as we prepare to send these tracks, Lord, down to the Junior Olympics, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you will just make its path smooth, Lord, that you will just make the way open. I pray, dear God, Lord, that as Brother Bruce and all these others, Lord, that go, I pray that you will just help them to get through customs, that you will just help them to get into the country, Lord, and that your will be done as these tracks are passed out, Lord. I know, Lord, that your word still saves every day. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you will just help us make this happen, Lord. I pray, dear God, Lord, that your will be done. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that many, many, Lord, will come to know you through this great effort. We thank you, dear God, for all that you do. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, for dying on the cross for our sins. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given to us to share the gospel with all those that are around the world. We ask all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
One other thing. I just talked with Brother Tom. As the service was started, Tom will be arriving in Buenos Aires with the rest of the team. He's checked his itinerary, and there to arrive. Brother Tom, is he back there? Oh, there you are. Did you tell me 9:20 Buenos Aires time? So that's 7:20 our time on October 6th. Works out real well. We're having a men's prayer breakfast that morning. And any men that want to come early, that'll be just the right time before we start getting ready for breakfast, come and pray for the team as they'll be going through customs. Please, that'll be on October 6th. All right. Hey, let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other.
Turn back to your seats. Let's also turn our hymn book to page 337.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word.
glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet. 463 as we stand once more. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather, all over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On the last, let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Good singing. You can be seated.
Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Man, can you please come forward for the offering? Announcements for today. NBC Ladies Conference Saturday, this Saturday at 9:30 from 2 p.m. Ladies, please sign up at the Welcome Center today. $15 gift cards are still welcome for donation. Men are needed to help with the meals and security. Please see Pastor Turner for any more details. Ladies, brunch at Rosa's Cafe on the 1st of October at 9 a.m. at 9:30 a.m. Brother Solomon will be coming on October the 3rd, and men's breakfast. This will be the men's breakfast where we'll be praying for those tracks to come out. So, men, if you can get here a little early, like Pastor said, so we can join in prayer for those tracks and for those that will be up there in Argentina. And October is Pastor's Appreciation Month. If you would like to show your appreciation with a note or card, October the 7th, there will be a basket at the Welcome Center. And we have a Friday Night Fellowship. I believe this will probably be the last one of this year since we're so busy with Project Nativity, which we still need those inserts. If you have them, please turn them in. And we have the Missions Conference coming up in October also. There will be 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. services on the 18th and the 19th. On the 21st, there will be a fifth-day setting. Please bring two sides and a dessert. Ladies, ensemble practice today at 4:15. Let's pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day, Father God, and just for the opportunity to come together and serve and to worship, Lord. We pray for our pastor as he preaches your word, and just pray, Lord, that you lead him, Lord, and that you speak to our hearts, to our minds. We pray for the offering and pray that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
She was down on her knees. She would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands. They turned to Jesus that day to see what he would say. The Lord just wrote in the sand. They all walked away when they heard him say, "Let the sin-free cast the first stone." With tears on her face, her sins were erased, and she stood in a moment of grace. The thief on the cross knew his life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past. He had done nothing right. He would sure lose this fight. His time was running out fast. So he took his last shot, said to Jesus, "Why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gate." Jesus right there forgave. His past was erased, and he died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul's found an anchor, unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. I've been counted out by this self-righteous crowd who would say you're not worthy of him. You've drifted too far. You're so stuck in sin's mire. You need a miracle that only God can give. But Jesus came by and with this reply said, "I choose you, live for me today." Again he forgave. My sins were erased, and I stood in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. Unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace.
Amen. Everything changed in a moment of grace. Working of God's grace. Amen, indeed. Well, let's stand together this morning. Turn once again. We've been looking at some phrases from Psalm 18, verse 2. God is teaching some tremendous things there, but Psalm 18, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Please, let these words deal with our hearts as we would read them. Again, as David writes here, certainly an expression of his heart, is he says, "I will love thee
O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Amen. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Oh, Father, once again, we bow before you. Lord, I pray that it's our single and unified desire today to declare that we love you. We love you, our Lord, and we're thankful for your mercies to us, as we just heard some. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you, Lord, that you would love us. And Father, as we look into your word once again today, I pray, Father, please get the preacher out of the way. Exalt and magnify our Savior. Yes. The horn of our salvation. And Lord, again, we pray that the wicked one would have no place to enter in, because any hindrance and the disturbance, I'm praying, Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would arrest the attention of every one of us. I pray especially for that one, maybe some, within the walls of this auditorium today that are yet without Christ. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to magnify your Son. Might your truth penetrate that hardened heart, and that even today you do, in the beauty of that grace, draw savingly, beautifully, gloriously to yourself. And we will, Lord, give you the glory for every bit of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Realize that the title of today's message sounds a bit different. But as we've just read, we see that it is certainly a biblical designation, a biblical statement, even describing our God. Well, as a preface for this morning's message, you know, we've kind of used this preface for the last couple, three messages, all coming from the truths of this short passage. I just ask you, my friend, can you praise God today? Can you worship Him? Do you delight in the Son of God? Amen. I love David's words when he says, I will love thee, O Lord. Mm-hmm. I will love thee, O Lord. Is that the expression of our very being today? Again, as we mentioned, we've asked that question before in previous messages here. But today's context calls for us to repeat it once again. Can you, put yourself there, can you praise the God of your salvation? Amen. Within that question then is the bigger question, the great question. Is God the God of your salvation? Is Jesus the God of your salvation? You know, being saved, salvation itself should cause us to want to praise God, our Savior. When the children of Israel, when they were delivered from the bondage that they were under in the land of Egypt, they responded in praise. Oh my, we read in Exodus, you could turn there if you wish, I'm just going to read this, in Exodus chapter 15. There in the beginning of that chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says this. Now, I don't know what kind of a singer he was, but it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Who are they singing to? Not to each other, not to the assembly. They were singing unto the Lord. They sung unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him in habitation. My Father's God, I will exalt him. Wow. Quite a statement. Quite a song. The children of Israel, of course, were praising God for that physical salvation, that physical deliverance that they had received from Egypt. But then, most recently, just prior to this, they were rejoicing in that deliverance from Pharaoh and his armies as they pursued them into the Red Sea. And the words of this song that they sang describe that glorious, as he says, that triumph that God took over Israel's enemies. As Israel passed through on that on dry ground, a tremendous miracle from the breath of God. That same army of Pharaoh drowned. And just a little side word. They've discovered chariot wheels in the bottom of the Red Sea. My, I wonder how those got there. It really happened, folks. Not just a nice little story that Christians and Baptist preachers like to tell. It's a fact, the reality. Omar, my, how much more? The children of Israel received a physical deliverance, a temporal deliverance from the armies of Pharaoh. But how much more should you and I praise God for our eternal, spiritual, and might we say also physical deliverance from our enemies, from our arch enemy, sin and death. Wow. Can I read it just one more time? Verse 2 of that of Psalm 18. The Lord, Jehovah, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. David goes on in the end, towards the end of the psalm, in verse 46, we read these words of praise from David. He says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." I mean, put it to music, it's great. Today, we look at that interesting expression from that verse, the horn of my salvation, the horn of our salvation. And we see here that David calls God the horn of his salvation. Kind of an unusual statement. The horn of my salvation. Now, as we think of that, we see that there's a direct link from this description, this designation, if you will, of a horn of salvation to the New Testament. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 1, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. Do you remember, of course, that as he received that word that God was going to visit he and his wife Elizabeth, and they would have a son in their old age. And from that, during that 9 months of his wife's pregnancy, Zacharias had no voice. He was mute. But at the birth of John the Baptist, God was pleased to enter in and fill John the Baptist with the Holy Spirit for a tremendous statement. And I want to read that, or a portion of that, from Luke chapter 1 in verses 68 and 69. And we see here the connection to what we just read in Psalm 18. He says there, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up and horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. What was Zacharias talking about? What was this? Zacharias, if you will, was prophesying of what God was about to do in the beginning, in the body, the womb of a young lady named Mary, to visit his people, Mary, being a descendant of David, the house of David. God would be pleased to overshadow Mary with his Holy Spirit and grant unto her to be the mother of our Savior. The horn of our salvation. Wow. This horn, of course, is obviously then the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see this horn used in different ways in the Old Testament. The horn becomes a picture of our Savior, if you will, and how he is works even now on our behalf. And we see that our Savior is a horn of defense for us. He is a horn of defense. You know, if we go back in the Old Testament, even in the book of Daniel, Daniel's prophecies contain some pictures using animals of world empires that would come on the scene and pass off the scene. Two of those animals were a he-goat and a ram, both of them given horns of defense. And we see these two animals in Daniel's prophecies battling each other as those empires would battle each other. And so we see that God was pleased to give many animals in his creation horns for their defense. But the Lord, beloved, is our horn of defense. He defends us. He deals for us against our enemies. He is the horn of our salvation. And we are saved. We are secure in him. And when I think of him as your horn of defense, it communicates a security, does it not? It communicates a safety. It communicates that he is our defender in the battles and the struggles that we would face. Even in this passage in Psalm 18, David calls the Lord our fortress and our strength. Certainly, that would speak of our protection, our defense. But we also see in the Old Testament that the horn was something that spoke of mercy, would be found as a horn of mercy. Stick with me on this. When Solomon was to become king in Israel, David is very much on his deathbed. But Solomon's older brother, Adoniah was actually the fourth born, but we're mindful that Absalom and Ammon were dead, and probably the firstborn son dead as well. So Adoniah, the fourth born, assumes that he will be king when David dies. But that was not God's plan. That was not how God had put it together. And we read that as he tried to set himself up as king while David was still alive. Yes, on his deathbed. But then, well, let me read this from 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings 1 in verses 50 and 51. Here we find now that Adoniah is already trying to make himself king, but there's other things going on at the same time. And it says in verse 50, "And Adoniah feared because of Solomon. And he arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar." And it was told Solomon. It was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adoniah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with a sword." Well, if you're mindful of the passage there in 1 Kings chapter 1, if you went back and read that passage, you'll see that as Adonijah is kind of exalting himself as king, that unbeknownst to him, Nathan the prophet and Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, have gone to David. And they said, again, David was not aware of what was going on with Adonijah. And they brought it to his attention, and David himself put the crown upon Solomon's head. And it was sounded far and wide. It was sounded in the ears of Adonijah and all that were with him, that David hath made Solomon king. Adonijah was aware immediately that his plan to be king was doomed. And he fled to the temple. And there, as you're mindful, in the temple outside of the tent where the holy place in the Holy of Holy was, there was the brazen altar. And that big, really, as you would picture it in your mind, a big square box. And on the corners, the four corners of that altar were horns affixed. And when the sacrifices would be brought to the altar and the blood would be shed there at the altar, and of course the sacrifice would be put upon the altar, but the priest would take the blood, it would be poured at the base and smeared upon the horns of the altar. Now be mindful, that sacrifice, that blood brought an atonement for the children of Israel. It essentially brought God's mercy on the children of Israel because of the sacrifice that was applied there, the blood that had been shed there. Adonijah fled to the temple. He caught hold of the horns of the altar and pled for mercy to King Solomon. So we see that those horns were also a picture, beloved, of God's mercy. Of God's mercy. Yes, indeed. Oh my. Understand, please. God showed his mercy to the children of Israel based on the atoning blood that was shed there on that altar. And because of it, God's people found mercy. In Psalm 145, verse 8, it says this. I love it. The Lord is gracious. As the lady sang a moment ago, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Our God can show that compassion. He can minister that grace and this great mercy because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of our Savior's blood. Jesus is our horn of mercy. On the basis of his blood sacrifice, God shows mercy to everyone that seeks it. As Adonijah sought mercy from King Solomon, when you and I would flee to the cross of Calvary and plead the mercy of God because of that sacrificial blood, we have a God that is merciful to grant that request. Oh my, listen to this. From Titus chapter 3, verse 5, what's it say? It says, not by works which we have done, but according to his mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our horn of mercy. But we see as well in the Old Testament, a horn was often used as a receptacle. It was a horn of anointing. And that hollowed out horn would used as a receptacle to hold oil. Hold oil. That oil was used for a couple purposes, maybe more, but we'll look at two this morning. One is that it was an oil of consecration would be kept there in that horn. The horn of oil would be used to anoint someone for a special office or sometimes for a special work, special task. Kings would be anointed. Priests were anointed. Prophets would be anointed to their special office and service. And in the Bible, I think we're aware that oil is a type, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. And as believers, beloved, we've received the anointing of the Spirit of Christ for service for Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Apostle Paul, thinking of this as he writes there to that church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in the 21st verse, he says this. He writes this, he says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God." In the next verse, it says, "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." You see, the Lord has anointed us in the person of His Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ giving of His Spirit for us. He's an oil of anointing. But also we see that He's an oil for healing. The Lord Jesus Christ, an oil for healing. A horn of oil would be used to anoint someone for healing. You're mindful of the story of the Good Samaritan. And how the Good Samaritan had poured wine and oil into the wounds of that one who had fallen among the thieves and had beaten him so badly. You see, the wine would be applied to be a disinfectant, a cleansing agent in the wound. But then the oil would be poured in to promote healing, to promote healing. Beloved, again, the Lord Jesus Christ is, in a double sense, our oil for healing. As we just saw, His blood cleanseth us from how much sin? All sin. He cleanses us from all sin, and we have received Him, received the Lord Jesus Christ as our healing cure for the worst of all ailments, the worst of all disease, the disease of sin. He's cleansed us and poured in of Himself for our healing. The Bible teaches that very thing in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Wow. He's a horn of defense. He's a horn of mercy. He's a horn of healing. But then He's also, and this is a little bit different, He's a horn of music. He's a horn of song. In Psalm 150, verse 3, it says this, "Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp." You know that word trumpet in the Hebrew Old Testament is the Hebrew word shofar. Shofar. And it means a ram's horn. A ram's horn. In fact, 72 times we find that word, shofar. 68 of those times it's translated trumpet. Trumpet. Now, the ram's horn wasn't exactly used in the normal sense of making music. It was a call to that in many senses. But if you could picture that ram's horn, sometimes long, sometimes shorter, because of that, it would give a different tone and a different sound. Sometimes a long and a short horn would be blown together to give a diversity there. But the real purpose of the ram's horn, as it says here in Psalm 150, verse 3, the sound, that word sound, means a blast. Not having a blast, but a blast of sound. A blast of sound. And the blast of the ram's horn was used to awaken. It was used to alert the children of Israel. We're mindful that as the children of Israel journeyed there in the wilderness, when God was about to give them the Ten Commandments. I mean, early on in that process, and in Exodus chapter 19, and we read this in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16. Be mindful, God is preparing. Chapter 20, the Ten Commandments are given to the children of Israel. But we read this in chapter 19 and verse 16. It says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet," ram's horn, "exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." It was an alert. In verse 19 of that chapter, it says, "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him in a voice." Wow. What was going on there was the blast of a ram's horn. The ram's horn alerted the people that they were about to hear from God. God was going to give them his law. But also the ram's horn would be sounded to alert the people, alert the children of Israel when it was time to observe special feast days. In fact, we read in Psalm 81, verse 3, it says, "Blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day." Wow. You see, the blast of the ram's horn sounded as the Jews marched out. Now I want to take us back again. The children of Israel have ended that 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And now they've crossed the Jordan River. And what's the first thing that has to be dealt with? The walls of Jericho. The great walls of Jericho. They say that chariots could travel around the top of that wall. But if we're mindful, God gave Joshua a rather unique plan on how they would take the city of Jericho. And in Joshua chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6 and verse 4 and 5, can you imagine the army receiving these instructions? It says, "And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat." And absolutely happened just as God said it would happen. Wow. The ram's horns sounded for the children of Israel. It was a sound to call to battle, but it was also a sound to call for the victory that God would give to them. In Psalm 18, verse 2, David, it seems, is using this word trumpet, ram's horn, to alert God's people to be a people of praise, to praise their God. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, David is king in Jerusalem. And it's his heart's desire. He longs to be able to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city. The Ark and the tabernacle, move it into the city. And so finally, God provided the way. There was a few things that had to be dealt with. We won't go into that in this message. But in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 15, we read this. Listen to this. It says, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." As they made their way into the city, the folks, as David, oh my, are you mindful of that day? As we read, David is leading the way. Great day for David. Great day for the king of Israel, but also a great day for the people. And as they shouted in praise for their God, oh my, the ram's horns were there sounded as a blast that certainly, I'm certain that it was heard throughout the city of Jerusalem rejoiced. It says all Israel rejoiced with David. But beloved, trying to bring it all together. Beloved, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen, is our horn of salvation. In that, as our horn of salvation, He, Jesus, is our defense. He is our mercy. He is our horn of anointing, separating us from this old world and unto Himself. Amen. He is our horn of healing. Oh my. Healing, delivering us from sin. And surely, because of all this, with all this, He is our horn of praise. He is our song, is He not? He is the song of salvation for you and I. And if you're saved, beloved, you have much to praise Him for. Amen. You have much to give Him glory for. My. Remember what it said in verse 46 of Psalm 18? It says, "The Lord liveth." Hallelujah. "And blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted." Might He be lifted up. Might He be lifted up right here in every one of us that are saved this morning. Might the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted, amen, in our hearts, but also in our midst as a people. See, when Jesus declared that when He would be lifted up, what? He would draw all men to Him. He'd draw folks to Himself. Are you saved? Are you saved? That question we started with a little bit ago. Can you rejoice in the God of your salvation? Is Jesus your Savior? I know, my purpose in preaching this message this morning was that believers, Christians, would just have our hearts, that our hearts would just be enlarged. Make our hearts bigger. Might God be pleased to enlarge our capacity, our ability to praise Him, to give Him the rich, beautiful glory and honor that He deserves. But dear friend, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you really have nothing to praise God for yet. But praise God, the invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ is to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. The invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ, the declaration from Him is that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I don't know, the last while that verse has just been extra precious to me. Extra precious, huh? Do you need to be saved? Believe, receive Christ. He is the horn of salvation. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You this morning, and Lord, as David did, it's our desire, it's our prayer in this hour to exalt our God, to exalt our Savior, to lift up, to magnify, to give glory to the lovely name of Jesus Christ who died for us. He that indeed was anointed to be our Savior. Lord, I pray for every Christian in this room, every blood-bought child of God. Please, Lord, help us in our frailties and in our weaknesses. Help us in that frailty of this old flesh to sound forth Your praise, to give You glory for who You are, honor for what You've done. Praise You, Father, oh Lord, for all that You are. But Lord, I also pray for anyone in our midst today, young or old, man or woman, that is yet without Christ. Lord, we've done our best to lift Him up, to exalt Him. Lord, I'm claiming the promise that You give, that You will draw to Yourself. Lord, today, if there's anyone here yet without that hope of salvation, would You graciously, mercifully draw them to Yourself, beautifully saving them, Lord, cleansing them from all sin, granting to them eternal life. Thank You, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 163.
Today's message is one of those messages that you feel that you just didn't even come close to doing justice to the passages of Scripture. So I'm praying that the Scripture in and of themselves would be pleased to drive to our hearts what a great God we have. What a wonderful God we have. That we would indeed be ready, quick, anxious always to give glory to the horn of our salvation. As we sing, please understand these altars are open. It may be for whatever reason God would lay on your heart, these altars are open for you, but also especially for anyone that might be here without Christ. You come. Please come. Take this preacher by the hand and say, "This preacher, I need to be saved. I want to know that I'm right with God." We'll do our best to show you what Jesus has done for you. As we sing, please obey the Lord.
Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
We have a wonderful Savior. A great Savior and a great God indeed. Well, please be in prayer for each other. Be mindful of the evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Be back in your place. And we'll look for God to meet with us once again. Amen. Brother John, come.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, "I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop." I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder evermore wander, but walk the streets that are pure.